Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Sherry.
I was just looking at that. We love living in the country, but technology doesn't always share our experience, does it?
No. Sherry, I'm going to try one thing to make sure to see. Hang on 1 second if this works. Let me know if you can hear me.
Okay.
Okay, well, that didn't work, so I'm just going to hope people can hear me.
I can hear you fine right now, and there isn't the echo that there was.
Okay, all right. So our assignments from Friday. What do you believe about yourself and life that keeps you from doing this, that is choosing the most compassionate thing you could do for yourself right now? Then on Saturday, we went to who you are right now and answer all the questions on the page. And the first question on Sunday was, what are your strengths? Record and listen.
Woo! Big weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people could pick any part of that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Sherry and hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are.
I have to hold this here, I think. This is Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
In Menlo. Hey. I think the biggest thing, well, we had such a great group at Center yesterday. It was astonishingly good. And
good.
Maybe that, well, I don't know. But I think one of the things, I know this seems so small in a way, but it was big for me. It was hearing last night, hearing from conditioning, and then say, no, I'm going to bed.
I don't want to talk to you.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bed.
Uh-huh.
That was huge to, mm-hmm. And it felt a little wimpy saying no to it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a no. Really, I'm absolutely not, you know, but
no.
Then I follow, pardon?
No, no, I'm going to bed.
It wasn't that wimpy, but it was kind of, you know what I mean? But there was a follow through. Maybe that was the key thing. And I was happy about that also because earlier in the day, when I had read the assignment about writing about your strengths, conditioning just came right in and said, oh, that's so easy to do. We'll do that later.
You said, no, we're not doing that either.
No, I didn't. I just said, yes, we will do that later. That's, you know, it just like, it came, just flew right over and out.
Uh-huh.
I believed it. So then later on, that really got my attention that I said, no. It's kind of like waking up from a dream or something.
Well, it's what you're describing. So, it's got God knows how long of being able to say, oh, yeah, that'll be easy. We'll do that later. That kind of thing, we think that's us. That's me. You know, I'm speaking here. So there's nothing to flag us. There's nothing to catch our attention, and we just do whatever it tells us to do. But with that one that you caught, it reveals how that process works. So you, excuse me, I project you'll never be caught in quite the same way again because you realize how subtle it is, how pervasive it is.
Yeah.
It's not just the glaring, you are the stupidest person ever born, self-hating messages that we've all caught on to, right? It's it's that subtle, oh yeah, that's easy, oh, that's great, we'll do that later, huh? Yeah.
And, you know, even though I did...
You don't need to think about that now. You don't need to worry. Let's go, we'll do...
No, it's great that you're describing that, because I could see that when it said you can do that later, and I responded, there was actually a slight queasiness or something to it, like this isn't quite right. Do you know what I mean? It's
yep.
And then
well, it's
going
starting
on.
To wake up. Right? It, that's a perfect description of it, right? So you're sleeping along, and there's a little noise, or there's a little this, or there's a little that, and you're not sleeping so soundly that you sleep right through it, right?
Right.
And then there's the next little thing, and pretty soon you wake up. And what woke me up? Well, sometimes we're aware of it enough that we can actually say, it was, or, you know, it was that bird that, you know, and sometimes we have no idea, but the process happened the same way. And that's a perfect parallel to what we're doing in practice. So there's that little niggling, and that's what we're learning to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good, huh?
Yes, thank you.
You
appreciate
are so
that.
Welcome. Yeah,
I appreciate this work so much. I really do.
Oh, it's a lifesaver, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's so fun too. When I realize when I catch on to these things, it's the fun part.
Yes, because there aren't beatings, right? There was a time when it was not fun because every time we saw something, we got a beating, and without the beatings, it's just Oh, okay. Something else to watch for. Oh, this is exciting.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Margaret.
And Ashwini. Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thanks, Margaret. I love that. I think at the monastery we often talk about it as that queasy feeling that we know that something is off, and to start to pay attention to it. And to recalibrate the queasy feeling, not it to be ego's uneasiness that life is getting through, and for us to know that it's that what is coming through is actually life.
Yeah, that signal is for me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a negative at all. It's a
There's an overriding, and the way we train with it, I think the monks talk about it all the time, right? There's the queasy feeling, and the we override it, right? Because we don't know what to do with it. But it's the place to stop and go, okay, I'm getting a signal from life that somehow or the other I'm going down a conditioned path. I don't have to know what the alternative is except to pause and wait. And sometimes it's just to say, is to check in and go, well, what is this? Either with a reporter or for guidance around some activity. And that's how we train that groove to listen to life, not to conditioned mind. Because life has a way of getting through to us. And that is the sensation of that. The differential between life and conditioned mind as we're waking up.
Yeah. So when you say that, very likely, excuse me, if Margaret had paused for a second, that what would have dropped in next is, don't procrastinate. Now's the time. But that's why conditioning is so fast with, that's great, that'll be easy, we can do that later. Because if it doesn't put something in that gap, then we are going to receive the guidance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's or at good. Least just pause and train that other groove.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, right. Good point. Even if nothing else drops in, at least I have honored the kind of tap on the shoulder from life that comes in the form of that queasy, it doesn't feel quite right. So if
yes.
nothing else, I've paused to look and honor that process.
Well,
yeah, that's important.
It's the story you tell about the checking the oil in your old car. Not because there's something to check, but when there is something to check, there's training to go check it, that we won't override
yes.
it in the time
yes.
when it's necessary for us not to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because the voice wants to come in and says, oh, it's fine. There's
mm-hmm.
no problem. You've checked that 100 times. You know
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be a... Yeah, and then the engine blows.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. I'm so happy to be on. This is Janet calling.
Well,
hey,
we're so happy you're here.
I know, right? I have been I've been doing something at this time, and today was the first day that I have been free to actually call on. And I was watching the clock. I was like, okay, now make sure you get on, Janet. And then I was doing something else. And then I was watching that whole process, how it's like, I'm going to get on. And this has happened before in other things. And then I look at the clock, and it's like, it's late. You know, but it was funny because that was what I was putting down as one of my strengths is I persevere. So, but it was fun to watch, knowing that I'm watching the whole process of what happens, that I'll have the intention, like, I'm so excited I can finally get on the call, and then conditioning will come in with what you were just talking about. You know, there'll be something else,
distract,
I'll get
distract,
busy.
Distract.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden and as it was, I got on right at noon. And you guys were having trouble because I would have been a little bit late. But, it was really fun to watch all of that happening.
Oh, and one point of that I want to ask you about before you go on to the next one is if this is true. So you have the intention, you're going to, then the distraction comes in, and conditioning will come back in, so in your case, at 12:30. Precisely,
so
to point
what
out.
What did you
that
do?
That's right. So it's watching the clock the whole time, right? Which
right.
is
go back and
amazing.
Take that strength off of your list.
Right.
Immediately. Right?
Oh, Lordy, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works, you know? So it was funny because when I was doing the strengths, I was like, hey, this is pretty easy writing all of this out, you know, but then seeing this background thing of exactly how that would happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, I listen to it at any point, and then it's like, I got to go back on that list and cross out one of those words.
Right. Which, of course, is not true because you're going back to the list, which is proof that you do persevere.
Yes. I know. It's just that whole full circle. And mm-hmm. I just want to say I've been listening to all the recordings, and it's been so wonderful. And I'm just so feeling so happy and glad that I got in the queue and listened to what my heart was telling me to do.
Yes, and you make another really important point for us. So one of the bamboozles that conditioning likes to use is, well, you've got this other thing that you have to do during that time, so, and then it kind of trails off. So, you know, because you know what that means, so you might as well just quit, or you might as well, you know, this just isn't going to work for you. But instead, because you persevere, because you're a person of commitment, mm-hmm. you listen to all the recordings. So it's not the same as being here in person with us, but you're hearing everybody. You're doing your practice right along with, and then when things switch up and you're able to be with us again, here you are. If we took that practice on, right, that alone would change everything about our lives.
Well, and I have to say that that has changed my life, because as you were, you know, reflecting that back to me, I really realized that I do that in my life a lot. I don't run that bamboozle anymore. Not like I used to. It's like there was always a reason to quit, and it was always because of what conditioning was saying, that I was too far behind, I hadn't done it, you know, all of that stuff. And I just don't believe that anymore. I just always start
where
I am.
Because that's right. It's always now, and we are here. Perfect time to start.
And right now, right in this moment, I'm exactly here. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. It's exactly right. And what happened before doesn't even matter.
Right. No. It's completely irrelevant. Oh, that is such a great point. Again, talk about a life-changing experience to realize that everything that has come before, first of all, has placed us where we are today, right now. Let's be grateful for that. Aside from that, it is utterly irrelevant. We never have to think about it again. We don't have to talk about it again. We don't have to anything about it again. If there's something from, in quotes, the past that arises in the present, not in conditioned mind, but arises in conscious compassion awareness in the present, then it's here for us now, and it's actually not about the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. And it's really fun to be sitting here right now and having that experience.
Yes.
So I guess my encouragement for anybody is, if you feel like you're behind,
you're not.
It's not true. I'm
right. You're being lied to. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you, Janet.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janet. Uh-huh. That was just such a fun conversation, Sherry. Really fun. And complete. So I'll bring another caller.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. I am so happy to be here. This is Diane in Boulder.
Hey, Diane. We're happy you're here, too. What are you seeing?
Oh, there's so much. I was listening to Friday's call this morning and really appreciated the comments about the difference. Well, I would put it a little, in my words, it's the difference between doing the thing that brings you to compassion and being in compassion. Because I can do lots of things that are supposed to, that I believe have been told will bring me to compassion, but it doesn't necessarily sink in. And it's easier, as it is for, as we heard from other people, to have compassion for other people, or particularly I have a daughter, a young daughter, and much harder to feel it for myself. And I can do these practices but it's still, for myself, it's mostly an intellectual process. And I get
now, Diane, was Friday the one where we were talking with Helga about the little boy?
No, I think that was Wednesday. I think that conversation was referenced, and then Ashwini was talking about like putting up the post-it notes that remind you to go to self-compassion or experience self-compassion. And she was making the point that it's not the putting up the notes, it's the thing that putting up the notes bring you to, lead you to, mm-hmm. help you actually experience.
That you're already where you want to be in the process of putting up the notes, because if you weren't in compassion, you wouldn't be putting up the notes. That kind of point.
I thought she was making a more subtle point, and I think that's what you were saying, and my understanding was that she was pointing to that there can still be a difference. You can put up the note, but not be really experiencing self-compassion and still be more in putting up the note. And it's the thing that putting up the note is designed to lead you to, that's what we're looking for. Am I making any sense?
Yes. Yes. I would just go back. I don't know if you heard that call with Helga, but it was, you did?
I did.
Yeah. So that was a real life changer for a lot of people because I'm getting that with your daughter, you are aware of feeling compassion.
Yes. It's not hard to go there much of the time, although she's getting to be a preteen and
gets a little more challenging, doesn't it? Fortunately, though, we've loved them unconditionally for so long. If we're paying attention at all, we can ride out those years and not lose sight of that. But the point that to me is the critical one is that when you go to that place with her, to realize that is your experience of compassion. It doesn't actually have anything to do with her. It's just that we are karmically predisposed to have certain experiences in certain situations.
Yeah, and I can have, it's not that difficult for me to go to compassion for me as a baby or as a young child. It's much harder still for me to feel compassion for me as an adult.
Because instead of staying with that experience of compassion, you turn attention to conditioned mind. And conditioned mind, ego, is never going to have compassion. Actually, it doesn't have compassion for anything. It is the absence of compassion.
Yeah, and I see that, and I guess I'm still struggling with, so how do I actually feel the compassion for myself as an adult?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because that whole process is a process of ego maintenance. So you are being maintained as a self that is somehow unworthy of or isn't receiving compassion. That whole structure is in place to make sure you never have that experience. If you keep attention on compassion and just keep bringing more and more into compassion, you know, the way we were talking about it, you feel it for the bird, you feel it for the puppy,
yeah,
for the little person.
Yeah, you go to the place where you can feel it. Uh-huh.
Yes, and you continue to do that until finally you're just sitting there. And you can turn your attention to it and feel it, okay? Just keep doing that. Don't worry about this illusion of a separate person who is outside of compassion. Drop the whole thing.
Okay. Well, that's easier to do.
Yes. Oh, it's so much easier. And that's always good for us to realize, isn't it? What is practice? Practice is the easy way. It's dealing with ego, dealing with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that is difficult and makes life a period of suffering.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, you see it all day long, right? But it was interesting doing the what are your strengths exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was a heyday for conditioning. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to write this down anyway. It's like, yeah, well, you used to think those were your strengths, but maybe they're not really not. Well, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. So this is very good. Your work right now is to practice turning attention away from that conversation. So that's why we, you know, when we're in that place where, you know, with the little person or the sitting outside under a tree in the sunshine and being grateful to be alive, grateful for life, then you make those recordings of what is your true experience of life. And you listen to those instead of listening to that conversation, because that conversation is never going to take us anywhere except to suffering. And you can see that, right, when you repeat it back to me. Well, those used to, you used to think those are your strengths, but now probably, you know,
yeah,
if you had a therapist who talked to you that way, you would quit seeing that person.
Yep. And I felt like, I'm going to write them down anyway. So that felt like a bit of a triumph,
yeah.
Just saying, I'm not going to listen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And that's the commitment. I'm not going to listen. It's probably the hardest commitment anybody ever makes, but that is the commitment. Going to get attention here, right now, with the heart, with the moment, with present, with gratitude, loving kindness. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Diane. And Sherry, we have 2 minutes, so I don't think we can squeeze in another caller, but I just thought we might continue the conversation a little bit more, that I think one of the most transformative guidance, what transformed, was absolutely transformative guidance for me, was when you said, love is not a feeling.
Uh-huh.
And it's true, compassion is not a feeling either. It's the absence of conditioning, which could be any feeling, any sensation, but to get that feeling love for someone or feeling compassion for myself, as you said, is an ego maintenance process, because there is no self to feel compassion. Ego cannot feel compassion for ego, because, first of all, it's not possible for compassion to exist within the ego place. And compassion is the absence of ego. So trying to feel compassion for a self is an exercise in futility that conditioning wants us to engage in order to have our attention on it.
Yeah, beautifully stated. That is it. That is it.
Yeah, just to recognize that movement towards feeling something for an object or oneself or another person comes from absence. We have to drop that in order to experience compassion, which is presence.
Yes, well, and see if this hangs together with what you're saying. That the closest thing, in my experience, to compassion as a feeling is gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it feels, and the reason I project that is because it arises, right? It is elicited. That's why, that when we know and when we feel love, it's not because we feel it towards something. It's something often, that's the projection. We ascribe it, but it actually arises, right? And gratitude is something that can arise without necessarily being elicited by something else. It's probably one of the only experiences that can be, whereas we're so deeply conditioned to love someone or to feel compassion for someone, but gratitude just arises.
Yes. Yeah. And since compassion and gratitude are synonyms, it is an interesting way. And with what Diane was talking about, When an experience of gratitude for the human being arises, that can be kind of a little doorway in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, we've all been through a lot in order to get us here. And that, what are your strengths? Well, it took a lot of those characteristics that we could put on that list in order to get here, right? Mm-hmm. And so gratitude for that, for that process, that progression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And the assignment for today is, what are your weaknesses for God and listening?
Well, that's going to be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. See you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.